Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Badlands Media Podcast. This is John Harold, also known as Patel Patriot. I am the founder of Badlands Media, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to listening to us here on your favorite podcasting platform. Just a reminder that all of these shows air live on our Rumble channel, so be sure to tune in over there. Just go to Rumble, search for Badlands Media, and you can interact with our community and the hosts in the chat. So be sure to come join us on the Badlands Media channel on Rumble, rumble.com/Badlands Media.
We are the news now. It's a saying that has come to define a growing movement within the Truth in America First communities. And at Badlands Media, we've been doing our best to make it a reality. Due in large part to your support, Badlands has quickly grown into one of the most watched independent networks online, with dozens of citizen journalists, podcasters, and personalities across our shows. This spring, we want to take Badlands to the next level, and we invite you along for the ride as we kick off the Great American Restoration Tour. Experience everything you love about Badlands in the form of a live, ticketed event with in-person speakers, meet and greets, a VIP dinner with Badlands personalities and show hosts, and more. For those who can't join us in person, we'll be streaming the entire event as part of a special pay-per-view broadcast. So join us in Chandler, Arizona, April 20th through the 23rd. Go to badlandsmedia.net to reserve your tickets. The Badlands Media Great American Restoration Tour, powered by Furman.
Thanks for supporting Badlands America First partners. You can find a list of some of those sponsors in the description for this podcast, along with links to their websites and discount codes. We appreciate you supporting those businesses that support Badlands Media.
Greetings and welcome to The Brief on Badlands Media. Today is St. Patrick's Day, 2023. I'm your host, Patrick Gunnels. First, no cause for alarm. Janet Yellen to reassure Congress, U.S. banking system remains sound. The U.S. banking system remains sound, and Americans can feel confident about their deposits with no need to panic over recent events. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is set to tell the Senate Finance Committee on Thursday. Her testimony will come a week after the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. AP reports Yellen will be the first Biden administration official to face lawmakers over the decision to protect uninsured money at two failed regional banks, a move critics labeled as a bank bailout. The government took decisive and forceful actions to strengthen public confidence in the U.S. banking system, Yellen says. In prepared testimony released before her appearance, I can reassure the members of the committee that our banking system remains sound and that Americans can feel confident that their deposits will be there when they need them. Breitbart. Our take. There is no reason to believe Janet Yellen. She's been wrong her entire tenure. How can our banking system be sound when, according to Claremont Institute, Silicon Valley Bank gave $73 million to Black Lives Matter and probably much more to Democrat politicians? We need a beefy task force to investigate everyone who gets, quote, donations from our banks. Kind of like how they wanted 87,000 IRS agents to come knocking on our doors. SVB failed because it gave out huge unsecured loans to anyone that came in through the door and said they needed money for an ESG startup. Some might argue that it was designed to fall. If they were serious about this problem, why not address Congress about the fundamental factor behind inflation and how to fix it? Hint. It isn't raising interest rates. Stop fleecing America. Ryan DeLarm. Project Veritas on Twitter. Breaking. Confidential Pfizer documents reveal pharmaceutical giant had evidence suggesting increased risk of myocarditis following COVID-19 vaccinations in early 2022. There is evidence that suggests patients who receive a COVID-19 vaccine are at an increased risk. Our take. So, they knew. They knew the risk of myocarditis was elevated with the vaccine, and they still released it. These people are sick. These people are evil. These people don't care about us, and this is just more evidence of this fact. As more of this comes to light, I suspect a lot of those behind these actions will soon face justice. Absolute Truth, 1776. Next. Government officials concealed pharmacies were selling fentanyl-laced medications to Americans. Since 2019, the Drug Enforcement Administration and State Department have known that Mexican pharmacies are pushing over-the-counter pills containing fentanyl, according to a new report. The Los Angeles Times reported that the federal agencies were notified by the family of Brennan Harrell, 29, who died of an overdose in 2019 after buying pills in a drugstore in Cabo San Lucas. Quote, this case could have been a canary in the coal mine and could have prevented more deaths that have surely occurred since then, said Chelsea Shover, a UCLA researcher investigating the sale of adulterated medicines in Mexico. Shover has led a study showing counterfeit medicines are being sold in Mexico. Quote, we knew when we detected counterfeits that there would be people who died, but it's deeply concerning that there was compelling evidence of this a few years ago, and yet there wasn't any kind of public information campaign about it, Shover said. The Western Journal. Our take. We are being invaded on the U.S. border by narco cartel members, human/child traffickers, and myriad other problems to boot. The unchecked problem of fentanyl creeping into society is now beyond a five-alarm fire. It has become a national catastrophe. Now we are starting to see this deadly drug seeping into our community and schools via Mexican pharmacies and from smuggling. It is also afflicting our daily lives as a nation, as death tolls from overdoses are on the increase upon the ever-increasing addiction that has attached itself to American society over decades. The policies of our current administration are non-existent and a complete joke. The nation is in a spiral under assault from this wicked drug of fatalities. If something is not done soon, expect to see more of this. We must take a stand to combat this virulent evil. This absolutely counteracts and disproves Mexico's President Obrador, who claimed this was an America problem, not a Mexican problem, less than 2 weeks ago. Johnny Q. Secure your financial future. KirkElliottPhD.com/Badlands for your free consultation. Next. How Jussie Smollett staged his hate crime hoax. Accomplices return to the scene of the crime. Jussie Smollett's hoaxers for hire, Amimbola Bola and Ola Binjo Ola Osundairo, are speaking to the media for the first time since helping the Empire actor stage his hate crime in the early morning hours of a snowy January day in 2019. Everyone immediately thought this is what a Trump's America is like, New York Post national correspondent Gabrielle Fonrouge said of the hate crime in a newly released multi-part Fox Nation special, Anatomy of a Hoax. Fox News. Glock Topics on Twitter. In the new doc, Anatomy of a Hoax, the Jussie Smollett faked story, the Osundairo brothers detail what really was Jussie's plan and why. They also say they still feel betrayed by his hate crime lies. Let's watch, shall we?
We were the ones that did it.
Yeah, it was us.
Extra with an exclusive first look at Jussie Smollett's Anatomy of a Hoax.
It was a crazy scene that Jussie put on. He even said,
I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop of what I have been accused of.
I'm like, man, you ain't your mother's son, buddy.
Better get that birth certificate.
Right.
And a new interview with Bola and Ola Osundairo's attorney, Gloria Rodriguez.
Why did they agree to carry out this attack for Jussie in the first place?
Jussie was their friend, and they didn't want to betray their friend. And so at the end of the day, it was their trust that was taken advantage of.
I was down to do it because if we do this for him, he could probably help us out with our careers.
Jussie was someone who could really help their career. And beyond that, he was their friend. The documentary goes into great lengths about their feelings and how they felt when Jussie asked them to beat him up.
Hitting Fox Nation March 13th, the series goes into timeline detail about the attack and how Jussie choreographed the whole thing like a script that he was directing. And the brothers take us back to the scene.
This is where we waited for Jussie to come before we attacked them. So we got here with 10 minutes to spare, and we had to plan our escape route to survey the land. His building is actually right here, right above the stairs that we're going to attack him at. We made sure we got there at 2 a.m. sharp.
On the dot.
On the dot. We had no phones because he did not want us to bring any phones. He said, so we don't lose them. I don't know if that's really the reason, but you can deduce your own reason. So 2 a.m., he was nowhere to be found. He was not there. So we were like, damn, what do we do? We didn't have no way of contacting him. He had no way of contacting us. So we waited here for about, what, four minutes?
It was about four minutes. But it felt like forever.
Because it was cold as balls. So I saw him out the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, that's him. Let's go. We gotta go get this Empire fat. Yeah, that's him. That's him. Is that him?
That's that nigga.
Stand there.
Get that nigga.
Oh, he's moving fast. Come on, let's get him.
Get that nigga.
Let's get him. as we crossed the street, we said, hey, to get his attention.
Hey, Nick.
Hey. He turned around, looked at us, and that's when we started yelling the famous slurs he wanted us to yell. Hey.
Aren't you that Empire?
Hey, Empire fat Nick. It's MAGA country. Yeah. And then he said, what did you say to me? And then that's when I threw the first punch at him. I held the blow because I didn't want to hurt him, of course. So I made it look real, but I held it. Then we started tussling, moving around, and then I threw him to the ground. He wanted it to look like he fought back. That was very important for him because he said, hey, don't just beat my ass. Make it look like I'm fighting back and whatnot. So we did that, and then I threw him to the ground. And after I threw him to the ground, he had no bruise. I wanted it to look more real. So then I threw him to the ground. After I threw him to the ground, I used my knuckle and gave him a noogie. So I went like this. Why did I do that? To give him a scar, to give him a mark, to make it look real, like he really did get his ass beat. After I did that, I fake kicked him. I don't know what he was doing. I wasn't paying attention.
That's where I came around with the bleach, the infamous bleach in the hot sauce bottle, poured it on his shirt. Then I finally put the rope around his face. I did not put it around his neck. I just placed it on his face, and that's when we took off.
The original plan Jussie had was for one of the brothers to douse him with gasoline. And then I believe it was Ola who said, no, I'm not doing that. I'll do bleach instead. Why the stipulation? Why is one better than the other?
That's something that they also go into in the documentary.
What tips me off to the narcissism is when he's looking at Robin Robertson, he says,
and I want a little gay boy who might watch this to see that I fought back.
I mean, what delusions of grandeur, right? I mean, he is creating this entire fantasy where he is the hero in it.
The fifth episode of the documentary takes a deep dive into that very issue, Billy, and it's like cringeworthy.
When he first had told me about it, I was the only one in the car with him. I didn't know what to feel. I was flustered. I was like, wait, damn, is this doing the right thing if I agree to it?
I remember the detective that put that footage together. We were all both thinking, that don't look like two white guys walking down the street.
We was in character the whole time.
So you think you guys are believable white supremacists?
100%.
Our take. This is explosive for whoever still believes the Jussie hate hoax was legitimate. It's remarkable that there are indeed people who think the attack was genuine. Even Stevie Wonder could see this thing was a completely staged event. Now that the Osundairo brothers have come out to provide context on what really happened, the cat is out of the bag, and Jussie's career, which is already hanging on by a thread, is as good as over. File this one with all the other failed psyops of the last 6 years, right next to Bubba Wallace's noose scandal and the Whitmer kidnapping attempt. Don't miss out on the clip in this article depicting the Osundairo brothers' reenactment of the attack. It's both revealing and hilarious. Ryan DeLarm. Next. CDC bought phone data to monitor Americans' compliance with lockdowns, contracts show. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, purchased data from tracking companies to monitor compliance with lockdowns, according to contracts with the firms. The CDC paid one firm $420,000 and another $208,000 that bought access to location data from at least 55 million cell phone users.
The contracts approved under emergency review due to the COVID-19 pandemic were aimed at providing the CDC, quote, with the necessary data to continue critical emergency response functions related to evaluating the impact of visits to key points of interest, stay-at-home orders, closures, reopenings, and other public health communications related to mask mandates and other emerging research areas on community transmission of SARS-CoV-2, end quote. The contracts obtained by the Epoch Times state. The Epoch Times, our take. As if there was any doubt to the perceived trust we should have in the CDC, this should just about shatter that trust for anyone paying attention. The CDC basically paid to lowjack American citizens. This is unacceptable and a sign of where this totalitarian regime continues to take this country, which just happens to be right off the cliff. On the bright side, the very fact that these things continue to come to light is a reason for optimism, as for so many years, facts like this would be buried and hidden from public view. The boomerang continues its journey back. Absolute Truth, 1776. And finally, please say a prayer for the stepdad of the storm has arrived. He has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and is taking alternative treatments. And we at Badlands Media wish him a speedy recovery. Thank you so much for being here. This has been the Badlands. This has been The Brief with Badlands Media. We do this every Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Central, which is, of course, followed by Badlands Daily, starring John Harold and CanCon. And I will see you on Monday.
Oh.